Ali je sprava za vzpostavitev dialoga možna le preko spora? V današnji oddaji Lara Lingua o Belgiji se bomo pogovarjali z Michaelom Merigenom, ki prihaja iz flamskega Turnhouta. Sedaj 23-letni Michael je 5 let študiral pravo na Univerzi Leuven, letos pa študij izpopolnjuje na Nizozemskem. Pogovor bo potekal v angleškem jeziku. Angleščina namreč ni le prvi mednarodni jezik sporazumevanja. Močno prisotna je tudi v vsakdanjem življenju na ulicah in v pisarnah Bruslja, pa naj bo to zaradi želje po nepripadanju jeziku določene regije, preprostemu zavračanju francoščine strani Flamcev ali pa zaradi močne prisotnosti tujih poslovnežev. Živjo, Michael. Ali se nam lahko nakratko predstaviš v svojem maternem jeziku?
Mijn naam is Michael Merigan. Ik ben geboren in Turnhout in 1984. Dat is in het noorden van België, in Vlaanderen. Ik heb rechten gestudeerd aan de Universiteit Leuven, de Katholieke Universiteit Leuven. En ik studeer nu daar in Nederland.
Belgici naj bi dejali, da je le kompromis, a vsem dober kompromis. Kakšen je torej kompromis pri urediti teh močno prisotnih, a popolnoma različnih jezikih?
Belgium is a federal state, which means that you have several states within the states that are not subordinate to the federal state. So all the states are equal and cannot interfere with each other. You have three regions, the regions of Flanders, the region of Wallonia, and the region of Brussels, and they have certain fixed competences, competences that are linked to the ground, as we say. For example, forest management, or fisheries, or roads between towns. These are the responsibility of the three regions. Next to these three regions, you also have three communities. You have the communities of the Flemish-speaking people, the community of the French-speaking people, and the community of the German-speaking people. These communities also have their own governments, their own institutions, their own administrations, just as the regions do. But these communities are responsible for cultural things and educational things, like schools and universities and cultural centers, stuff like that. So you have one federal state, three regions, three communities, and then, of course, they come together in some places, like in Brussels, where you have the region of Brussels, but the community of Flemish people and French people who live together in one city or in one region. So it's a very complicated situation, but so far it has always worked more or less. But we will see if it continues that way.
V Belgiji pa nista uradna jezika le francoščina in flamščina, ampak na določenem ozemlju tudi nemščina. Kako pa je s tem?
German minority in the east of the country, and they have their own community. They have the German-speaking community. They do not have their own region because they fall under the region of Wallonia, where it's in the south of the country, where the French-speaking people and the German-speaking people live together. But they're only a very small group in our country. There's about 10.5 million Belgians. Among them, about 6 million people are Flemish, a bit more than 4 million people are French-speaking, and there's about 60 to 80,000 German-speaking people. So it's really a very, very small group. They only have a couple of villages in the east of Belgium.
Država ima vsekakor zelo zapleteno upravno in administrativno ureditev, ki pa je vseeno dolgo časa vsaj na videz funkcionirala. Kako pa je prišlo do sedanjega brezvladja, ki traja od junijskih volitev?
June there were federal elections in this country, and well, we don't have national parties, which is sometimes complicated to understand for people who don't live in Belgium. This means that in the north, in Flanders, we vote for Flemish parties, while in the south, in the French part, they vote for French parties. This means that if we have a coalition government, we always have at least 4 parties involved in making a government. You have the 2 different political families that won, for example, the Liberals and the Christian Democrats. But then you have the French Liberals and the Flemish Liberals, and the French Christian Democrats and the Flemish Christian Democrats. This means that you have at least four parties working together. Now, in the current situation, it's even more complicated because the Flemish Christian Democrats went together with another party, and so did one of the French parties. So we have a lot of parties that have to work together and try to make a government. This has not worked so far. So we're almost at 6 months without a government. Ever since the Flemish and the French Christian Democratic parties have been trying to form this government, we have had a crisis. And there are many issues at stake, and some are very symbolic, and others are very, very practical. And I'll start with some of the practical ones. The Flemish people want more autonomy for the Flemish region. As I mentioned before, the division of competences is very important, as different levels cannot interfere with each other. Once a competence has been attributed, it remains the sole responsibility of the community or the region which it was attributed to. That's why this division is very important, and the Flemish region or the Flemish community cannot do anything that wasn't explicitly attributed to it. That's why now the Flemish want more competences attributed to the region. Now, the North and the South have always had very different political ideas for as long as most people can remember. In the South, which is French, you have had a socialist government, for example, for ages, while in the North, there has always been a more Christian democratic influence. In the North also, the economic stress has always been on small enterprises, and the stress in the South was more on big industry, on metal industry. And this has led to the phenomenon that, relatively speaking, have more of a workers' mentality, probably, in the South, where they obviously vote for socialists much more often, and more of an entrepreneur mentality in the North, with small businesses and a more liberal approach. Now, the problem is, of course, that the South, at this moment, is much more poor than the rich North. And so the South says, well, if we give more competences to the regions, it's not really a problem for the North, because the North will actually be able to pay for maintaining these competences, for exercising these competences, but the South will not. On the other hand, the people from the North say, every year we are giving billions and billions of euros to the South, and there is no structural change.
Flamska regija je danes ekonomsko močnejša in se torej želi odcepiti. Čeprav pomaga revnejši regiji, ali ni tudi Valonska regija še v zlatih 60-ih finančno podpirala takrat revnejšo flamsko regijo?
This is, in this question we actually pass from the practical to the also symbolic files. You have to know that in Flanders there is a feeling that there has been that there is an ongoing battle for more independence. And this battle has been going on for a very, very long time already. You have to see that when Belgium was constructed in 1830, actually the South and the North didn't have that much in common. The language was different, the culture was slightly different. And for as long as most people can remember, the North, the Flemish, were dominated by the South. And progressively, slowly, since the 19th century, the Flemish have been able to gain more rights for their own language and their own culture. And so now at this moment, we are in a situation where the Flemish culture in Flanders is very strong, and the Flemish are allowed to experience their own culture, speak their own language, and, very important, to speak also the language in the national politics,
yeah,
which wasn't even the case before. And so you have to see this evolution not only as a battle between rich and poor, because if you turn it like that, of course now Flanders is supporting the South, but once the South was supporting Flanders, and maybe soon it will change again, it's also a battle for more independence for a people, the Flemish people, which have always had the feeling that Flanders has been under the rule of the French, of the Austrians, of the Spanish, of almost everybody except of the Flemish themselves.
Leto 2008 je leto medkulturnega dialoga. Če si na eni strani Evropska unija prizadeva za razvoj regij in regionalnih identitet, pa po drugi strani želi ohraniti skupno evropsko dediščino. Kaj bi torej ločitev Belgije pomenila za Evropo? Bi zadostila regionalnim težnjam ali se s tem odvrača od skupne evropske identitete?
Well, there's two things that I have to say about this. First of all, a possible separation, which is a hypothetical question because I don't see Belgium split in the next couple of weeks or months, but a split would actually have been inspired partly because by the European institutions. Why? Because of Europe, there's actually a lot of things that the different regions don't really need the state level for anymore. I think, for example, the monetary issues. Since we have the euro in Flanders, in the whole of Belgium, there's no real need anymore to have the Belgian state arrange these issues. Secondly, for example, I'm thinking about defense, foreign affairs, which are increasingly being dominated by European perspectives, not by state perspectives. So because of this European integration, we see more and more that it's easier for the regions to separate or to have more independence because they have less need for the state level. On the other hand, and this is the second issue, I think that if Belgium would split, it would not be good for the European Union. At the same time, the European Union would be kind of causing the split, but it would be very bad for it. Why? Because you have a number of big European countries which are very, very afraid of countries splitting, of regions becoming independent. I think of United Kingdom, for example, or Spain with Catalonia. And so you have these countries that would not like a region to separate because they would become afraid that their own regions might do the same thing. And therefore, if they see that Flanders would become independent, partly because of the European policies, they would probably be inclined to not pursue the European integration as much as they are doing it today. So the influence of the European Union on separating regions is very big, but from the moment that it actually happens, it will probably have an adverse effect, I think.
Pa je dialog med Flamsko in Valonsko regijo sploh možen?
Well, you have to look at it this way. It's being perceived in outside of Belgium that this is an internal affair of one country that is actually not getting along with itself. While actually you have to see the two regions, Wallonia and Flanders, as being two very distinct regions with very own cultural backgrounds. And so you actually are having a dialogue between two different countries almost, although we are still in the same country, in Belgium. And therefore, it's not illogical that at this moment the dialogue is taking a very long time. And in fact, at this moment, people are wondering if a dialogue is actually possible. So it is true that from that point of view, this might not be that good of an example, but only time will tell. We have to see now first how this dialogue between the north and the south of the country continues. And if they reach a solution, then it will only prove to have been a very difficult dialogue. But still, in the end, the dialogue will have prevailed, because in any case, even if Belgium would ever split, the chances of it happening in a violent way are almost non-existent. The dialogue in the end will probably always prevail. That's at least the feeling that's alive here now at the moment.
Pri razvijanju nacionalnih identitet ima pomembno vlogo jezik. Narodni buditelji so ljudi naslavljali kot govorce istega jezika, katerih skupna točka identifikacije so ponovadi predstavljali različni miti, pripovedi ljudskega izročila. Jezik služi kot element prepoznavanja skupne identitete, ki se loči od govorcev drugega jezika. Eden izmed flamskih narodnih buditeljev je tudi Guido Gezel, ki si je v 18. stoletju prizadeval za priznavanje flamščine kot samostojnega jezika, neodvisnega od nizozemščine. Kot mnogi je svoje umetniško delovanje dopolnjeval z učiteljskim poklicem.
Okay. Dien avond en dien roze, by Guido Gezelle. Ik heb menig uur bij u gesleten en genoten, en nooit en heeft een uur met u me een enkele stond verdroten. Ik heb menig blom voor u gelezen en geschonken, en lijken die met u een roning uitgedronken. Maar nooit een uur zo lief met u, zolang zij duren kosten. Maar nooit een uur zo droef om u, wanneer ik scheiden moste. Al de uren wanneer ik dicht bij u, dien avond neergezeten, u spreken hoorde en sprak tot u, wat onze zielen weten. Nog nooit een blom zo schoon van u, gezocht, geplukt, gelezen, als die dien avond blonk op u, en mocht de mijne wezen. Of schoon zowel voor mij als u, wie zal dit kwaad genezen, een uur bij mij, een uur bij u, niet lang een uur mag wezen. Of schoon voor mij, of schoon voor u, zo lief en uitgelezen, die roze, al was het een roos van u, niet lang een roos mocht wezen, toch lang bewaard, dit zeg ik u, ten ware ik tal verloze, mijn hert drie dierbare bloemen.
Pri nerazumevanju drugačnosti in sprejemanju tistih, ki jih poimenujemo kot druge, imam pomembno vlogo tudi izobraževanje, še posebej tisto, ki poteka znotraj državnih inštitucij. Altizer je šolo poimenoval kot enega izmed ideoloških aparatov države, ki ohranjajo vladajočo ideologijo. Kako pa šolstvo funkcionira v državi, kjer je izobraževalni sistem ločen med posameznimi skupnostmi?
Well, yes, I told you before about the regions and the communities. We have three regions and we have three communities. And education falls under the competence of the communities, which means that basically our educational system is split into three parts, two of which are larger, of course, the Flemish part and the French part. The German part is only very small. This means that the universities are also are controlled from a community point of view. And so the universities in Flanders have another kind of control than the universities in Wallonia. Now, a very interesting example in this case, for example, is the situation of Leuven, Louvain, and Louvain-la-Neuve, the new Leuven. Until the 1950s-60s, we had a situation in which in Leuven, which is a Flemish town, the university was bilingual. Students spoke both French and Dutch. And then we decided that these French students should either speak Dutch or organize their own education in French, but not in Flanders. And so basically the French students had to leave Leuven and they had to build a completely new university town on the other side of the language border in Wallonia. And this they called the new Louvain, Louvain-la-Neuve. And so you see there already, and this was decades ago, a separation, this was long before the communities were installed. You saw that the education is organized along the language borders. So yes, this is true. We have universities on both sides of the language border. They are organized in different ways by different institutions.
Belgija slovi kot strpna država, katere del so odnegdaj predstavljali različni priseljenci.
We do have a large immigration population, and certainly in the cities like Brussels and Antwerp. I think in Brussels especially this complicates part of it, because in Brussels already you have only 10% Dutch-speaking people and about 90% French-speaking people. When you look at the immigrants, you see that a lot of them are North African, and they already speak French. So when they come to Brussels, they are not inclined to learn Dutch, because they already know French and they can live speaking French in Brussels. So I think that the immigration population in Brussels is in fact helping the French identity of Brussels more than it is helping the dialogue between the Dutch and the French, because the Dutch are increasingly a minority in Brussels. But then when you see when they come to Flanders, obviously, they are expected to learn Dutch and Flemish, and most of them do, and so that's not considered a big problem.
V Problemov s priseljevanjem, enem bolj perečih vprašanj na evropskih tleh, v Belgiji torej ni.
Like I said in Brussels, if you look purely at the integration aspect, I think like in a lot of Western European cities, there is a problem with integration until a certain extent, because the immigrants that arrive here are also people that are less educated usually. They're people without work, without money, and so you see that it's easy for them to form groups of people that are relatively secluded from the rest of the population, with their own language, their own culture, without any possibilities of integrating in normal Belgian society. And so this is a problem, but it's not a black and white problem. There's
Kako pa bi potem lahko komentiral dogajanje v Antwerpnu, kjer bi lahko glede na volitve govorili o ksenofobiji? Rezultat volitev je še toliko bolj zaskrbljujoč, saj v Antwerpnu živi največja židovska skupnost v državi.
Antwerp is a complicated case because you have an enormous immigrant population there. Most of them are Moroccan Arab. Not all of them are integrated as well, but some of them have been there for years and speak perfect Dutch, the perfect Flemish. So some of them are integrated, but a large part of them are not. And on the other hand, of course, you have a city which is a very big city. It's a world harbor also. It's a very an economically very important city with a lot of activity going on. And there are a lot of people living there, especially the Flemish older generations, of course, have seen their city developed since the 1950s, even before that. My own grandmother comes from Antwerp, and you can see the difference, as she says it as well. The city has transformed a lot, and among especially the older population there, there is a feeling of insecurity in Antwerp. Of course, if you don't understand the people that are walking around there, if you don't understand what they are saying to each other, and if you have difficulty in understanding what they are telling you, it's hard to trust anybody. And, of course, we have crime in Antwerp, like we have, like every Western European city has. But this, of course, is fueled by the fact that you have this immigrant population which is hard to connect to. And so we have a part of the population, approximately 30% in Antwerp, that votes for extreme right, probably more because of these security issues and the feeling of insecurity that they are being told they must have.
Preden se poslovimo, pa še zadnje vprašanje. Občutek nevarnosti pa velikokrat ni posledica nekega dejanskega družbenega stanja, temveč ima svoj izvor v neizobraženosti. Bojimo se tistega, kar ne poznamo. Michael, kje so po tvojem mnenju možnosti za rešitev medkulturnih strahov, tako v Antwerpnu kot tudi drugje?
I can understand a lot of people in Antwerp why they react this way. Although they have to understand that if they vote for an extremist right party, that this party is part of the problem and not part of the solution, in my eyes, because the only thing they do is radicalize two parts of the population against each other. And so, in the end, the solution must be found. You cannot export all those people back to your home countries, especially not the second or third generation people that are there. So you have to find solutions, bringing the society to a point where the immigrant population and the original population can live and coexist. And therefore, you need organizations, you need local organizations, you need youth work in the neighborhoods. And this is not the strong points of this extremist right party. And so in the end, I think that voting for this party is a logical reaction of the population. But they will see in time that it's not part of the solution.
Za sodelovanje in zanimiv klepet se ti lepo zahvaljujem. Z Michaelom Merriganom se je pogovarjala Ana Podvršič, oddajo pa je posnel tehnik Andrej in Ana.